Okay. Well, let's look at the target approach. And one of the things that I have come to realize over the years of really studying, I feel like I know these competencies so well, and yet there's many, many nuances. And they're also very simple when you know how to discern which ones are more important than others. And so the target I've got there, there's really, I think, four that are the core of coaching. And it starts right in the middle with coaching presence. And coaching presence is not in the core competencies, the number one competency. So if you look at it linearly, I mean, coaching presence is number four. And yet, without doubt, coaching presence is the key to coaching, because you have to know what coaching is and isn't, first of all. And that's why I put ethics, you'll see there in the middle, as a subset of coaching presence, because ethics involves knowing the distinctions between what coaching is, teaching, training, therapy, consulting, and any other modality. And so that's the first part of coaching presence, is knowing what coaching is and isn't. And the second one is presence, which is all about us and who we are and how we show up in a coaching session. If we're flustered and upset, well, we're going to bring that energy into a coaching session. And we're not able to access, if we've got all this other stuff going on in our head and we're really not very present, that comes through in our coaching. We are less able to access our intuition and really be present with the client in that moment and coach what is showing up versus what's going on inside of us. So a lot of coaching presence is about us understanding who we are, how do we turn up as our best self to any coaching situation, and how do we use our whole self, our intuition, our senses, be dancing with the client, letting them guide us, letting them tell us where to go next as well by how they speak, what they say, what they don't say. It's a wonderful dance that starts with coaching presence. So any questions about coaching presence before I move on?
No, I really like the way you've done this. Put this in the center.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It really is. It is the center. It is the core. It's, mm-hmm. It's the absolute core of coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I like that.
So then we move out one rung of the target, one circle, and we have listening, because everything is about how we listen to the client. And if we aren't listening fully, if our presence isn't fully present, then we may only hear what we want to hear. We're not intuiting, we're not sensing, we're not using even feelings and thinking. I mean, we are feeling, thinking, whole human beings, whether we work in the corporate environment, whether we are in the personal environment, that doesn't matter. So we have to be listening actively. We have to be listening with all of our senses. And again, active listening isn't number two in the competency, it's number five. But I believe it's a really key thing. Nothing happens then without how you listen. And how you listen informs the questions, which is mm-hmm. in the next circle. Because if you're listening in a certain way, your questions will come out in a certain way. If you're listening for what's not working, your questions will be about what's not working. If you're listening for vision and values and strengths, then that's what you'll ask questions about. And the same thing in the other part of the that outer rung, outer circle, is your active listening. Your listening informs your types of direct communication. And direct communication is really everything other than a question that you ask. So if you say that, if you make an observation, you know, I noticed that you were excited when you talked about that. That's an observation. It's not a question. It's a statement. So direct communication comes in the form of reflections, messages. Message can be, you know, it can be challenging to work in an environment where nobody understands marketing. I mean, I don't know, you know, that's another, that's a message, or it can be even more profound than that. It can be on the personal level. Things just come out when you're fully present. But the key is direct communication engages in the coach being able to say things that aren't questions. So coaching, wow, yes, great questions are the key to great coaching, and they're not all of coaching. It's the weaving process between the messages, the reflections, that's your active listening in action. And so they really form the core, and a lot of direct communication comes also in the form of listening for visual language. I mean, when you're listening for metaphor, a client talks about, like you'll hear on one of the coaching sessions I did on the recordings, a client talked about a bonfire. And so, I mean, even for a moment, I mean, I just grabbed that word, grabbed that concept and asked, what else do you want to add to that bonfire? Because it was a positive image for that person. So you can use visual language and metaphors as a form of very direct communication, because as we know, metaphors can cut through a lot of other words. We don't have to talk a lot. We can just, a metaphor does it. So listening for visual language and incorporating visual language is a wonderful, wonderful coaching skill. So that's the formation of the target. So before I move on, is there anything you want to add, Karen?
No, I think you've described it perfectly, and I think the most important word that you used was the weaving process. You know, when we engage in these skills, the coaching presence, the active listening, the questioning, and the direct communication, when that becomes a natural weaving process, then the coaching becomes really, really rich.
Yes. Yes. It does. Yes. And Linda, anything you would like to say or add?
You know, one new term, at least one I haven't used for myself, is the idea of visual language. I love that term. I use metaphor, and for some reason the term visual language isn't one I've used before, and so I like this because it makes it very alive to me.
Yes.
It's a great term. I like that.
One of the sub-points of direct communication is use metaphor and analogy to help to illustrate a point or paint a verbal picture. And so I feel like if we listen for the client's language, some clients are very visual, and you'll hear their visual language, and you can easily work with that then to create and test out the waters with metaphor and analogy.
Yeah, I like that. Makes
sense. To me, if you do these things, you really are on the right path to coaching. I mean, these are easy. It doesn't matter what type of coaching you do, these apply every single time, these four or five competencies, if you include ethics. And then I've got two other categories. One is applications and one is outputs. And everything else is either an application or output of those key competencies. And applications, there are two applications, establishing the coaching agreement and planning and goal setting. Establishing the coaching agreement is, there's the bigger picture of what's this coaching engagement all about. However, in every coaching session, you would be working toward something that was part of the bigger coaching engagement. And so if a client wanted to be a better communicator or be a better leader, was a general thing, and we had identified what that meant in terms of their communication skills, their influencing skills, their conflict resolution skills, let's say, then our individual coaching, each session has its own agreement. In other words, it has its own focus. If you think of establishing the coaching agreement, it being that each session is a session agreement, it's really to help the client focus in on what part of their bigger picture of the coaching agreement do they want to focus on today.
So that's leaving, so it's keeping one eye on what the bigger picture is, as you're saying, and then say if you're going to be working with somebody for several sessions and they have a large overarching goal, and then each session is, you're looking at that as a separate agreement that builds toward achieving the larger big picture agreement.
Yes, well said.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, so you might ask, what would you like to focus on today? What would be the best use of our time today? And they start talking about something to do with a meeting that's coming up. And so they want to talk through, they've got a very important meeting, and they wonder, there's some peers on there in that meeting who have created like challenges for them in the past, and they would like to come up with some strategies and work through how to have that meeting be successful to the best of their ability.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not have mentioned communication, influence, or anything, but you know that's all part of their bigger picture of why you're being employed by them as a coach. So this session becomes about that, and then you understand, you know, what would be success for this session. Well, I'd like to have a plan. Okay, a plan. See, now plan is something you can work with. Okay, a plan. What does a plan look like for you? Okay, I would have some, or some they might go, I just want to brainstorm ideas, or I want to have some different ways of viewing this situation. Okay, so that's very tangible. So it helps the client to really understand what it is they want from that session, because sessions don't go on forever. They go on for,
mm-hmm.
you know, 45 minutes, an hour, some an hour and a half or whatever, but, you know, that's a small amount of time. How do we make that useful? And at the end of the day, all coaching is about helping a client move from where they are to where they want to be in a way that works for them and gives them confidence to be able to do something in a better way or different way than they had before. So the coaching agreement is really one we'll go into a lot, because that has, it's a very critical part of the application of coaching, but it isn't coaching
mm-hmm.
itself. Coaching is listening, questions, direct communication, and presence.
Mm-hmm.
And planning and goal setting is that bigger picture. Again, you can actually, as part of every session agreement, it is possible that sometimes at the beginning of a coaching session, you may go bigger picture with the client. You can do a little bit of the planning and goal setting in every session with a client, because you might want to understand, well, what's your ideal outcome for this? How does this fit into your bigger picture of your leadership style? What would have this be successful to you if you would, you know, 3 months down the line from this particular situation? Anything that asks a bigger picture question, a visioning question, helps the client place. This particular coaching session is about planning and goal setting. So again, in the bigger context of the coaching agreement, you do planning and goal setting. And Linda's something, Karen, you don't know about Linda, is Linda has an exceptional understanding of assessments. So, you know, you might do assessment work and really understand mm-hmm. what's the plan. But then in every session, you can still be thinking about what's the bigger picture, the vision that this client has for this particular meeting or for this
mm-hmm.
particular working with this peer. Otherwise, you just get into problem solving. If you just think, well, I'm going to help them solve this problem, it's like, no, why do you want this? What's important about this?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this. I like the structure that you're creating here.
Good. And hopefully the whole point of my bigger picture is I want to make it easier for you to engage and everyone to engage with these competencies, because they are fantastic as a foundation when you understand how each category really is placed in the competency model.
Mm-hmm.
I'll move on to outputs. Outputs really are, as they say, they are outputs of your coaching. These are things that you can't manufacture in and of themselves. They are as a result of how you listen, your presence, your ability to push back on a client when you need to, in terms of their way of thinking, or they're taking themselves down a path that just doesn't feel useful or whatever. You know, we have to be that person that is willing to stand for the client's greatness. And at times, we have to be strong enough to say, hey, I don't, you know, I just want to pause. I don't know whether that's really a useful direction given what you just said. You know, you seem to be putting yourself down instead of building yourself up or whatever. So outputs, trust and intimacy comes from being able to have a strong presence, being able to stand for the client, and it comes through your presence and your listening informs the type of questions. If you ask a lot of problem-solving questions, intimacy doesn't tend to go far. If you are focusing on the who of the person and the person as a human being, no matter what their role is, you ask questions that will help them to find the way through and understand what it is they really want in a situation. So trust and intimacy can deepen, and you can actually hear it deepen in a coaching session when the client feels like you are getting them, when they feel gotten.
So you're making a distinction between trust and intimacy with problem solving. So that because the client may want to pull you as a coach into more problem solving, and that's the higher level look at that as more of building the trust and intimacy.
Yeah, I find, and you may find this too, Linda, that if you focus on solving the problem, they've got another problem to solve the next week.
Mm-hmm.
When you focus on how do they think, how are they approaching this situation, what have they tried, and you go into the being and who they are, and you start to work on them understanding how they approach a problem or the thing they brought to you in their coaching or how they approach relationship building. So you're really dealing with, the more that you deal with the person rather than the solution to the problem mm-hmm. they bring, and if you're willing to, like, help the client see their vision and, you know, really work from that place rather than, oh, we've got to solve this problem, my experience is that that's how you deepen the trust and intimacy, and that's when the client can actually go further in the coaching than you imagine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some clients, I mean, you know, I work with technical leaders who are engineers, scientists. I mean, they would love for me to help them solve their problem because they love problem solving. That's what they're good at. So when I say, yes, I'm going to help you solve your problem, but we're going to look at how you think, and they love that. You know, it's, oh, I can deal with that. How do you work with this? Not how do we solve your problem? It's a subtle difference, but it makes a huge difference to trust and intimacy over time and pretty quickly. You'll hear it in some of the coaching sessions when you listen to our mm-hmm. coaching sessions. You can hear when trust and intimacy deepens, and you can hear when it sort of doesn't go that far and what it takes. And I won't point out, I'll point those out when we get further into the recordings that I know, you know, I've done, because I'm more familiar with mine right now because I've listened to them. I've been in them. You can hear when I had to work hard to build trust with one mm-hmm. client that you'll hear. And it happened right at the very end of the first session. And mm-hmm. other clients, it's very quick. And, you know, by the questions you ask and how you pay attention, and there's ways that you can really focus in on the questions, and it's about the who when you focus more on the person than the problem.
Okay.
Creating awareness is also an output of the type of questions, and this is an important thing because the questions and observations you make, any of us coaches make, actually you'll hear a point where the client will somewhere during a session, if you ask questions that are deep enough or provocative enough or right on, just whatever that is for that client right there, you'll hear them go, ah. And boy, is that gold.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's platinum. That's what we are really searching and seeking in our coaching sessions, is when the client has their aha or an aha. Now, that is the point where we can, doesn't matter, that can happen 10 minutes into a coaching session, can happen 20, 30 minutes. Wherever it happens, that's where you can move into designing actions, because once the client has their aha and you let them unpack that, it's like, well, what do you want to do with that? There you go. Now they know, they go, oh, I need to do some research. Okay. How do you want to go about doing that? Now you're moving them directly. Don't wait till the end of a coaching session. As soon as they have their ahas, that's your signal to do not pass go. That's the exploration of what's their aha, what's their new awareness, what's actually happening, and then what do they want to do with that? Is there an action? Is there some follow-up that they want to do with that? And the other part of that is that naturally leads then into what type of resources do you need? And you listen for, do they need people resources? Do they need accountability in terms of, like, basically, progress and accountability, there's two parts. Accountability is the part we deal with in this coaching session. Progress is what happens between coaching sessions. Accountability is all about how does the client want to be accountable to themselves and not have the client insert themselves as accountability. That let the coach, let the client ask if they want you involved. Let them ask and say, look, I would like to get your help if they do. Mostly they will not do that unless the coach inserts themselves as an accountability, which is highly not recommended unless it's very, very, it's important that it is that the coach be inserted in there, because it's not building their own ability to use their own resources. Mm-hmm. So accountability is all about what's their commitment level. Can you hear how committed they are? And sometimes the best form of accountability is to hear that commitment and don't do anything. You get their commitment. They are clear on what they need to do. Do they need anything else? What could get in the road of them taking that action? So now you're helping them uncover any barriers. Any of that is all about helping them clear any barriers and make sure that they can be accountable to the actions they want to take. So you see, those are all outputs. I mean, creating awareness in particular, you'll hear the ahas, then you can move sort of through to designing actions and then finding out what support they need or what could get in the road of them taking that action. This is just a big picture I'm giving you right now, but these are the things that this is the my view of how the ICF 11 core competencies actually come together. So that's all I'm going to sort of say for now. I just want to check in if you want to add anything, Karen. And
you know, the only thing that I love to add is my own experience of before I went for my own certification as PCC, and Carly had given me that tip about, you know, when the client gets that aha moment, then that's really the opportunity to take them into designing actions. And as it was, that's exactly what happened in my live coaching session, and I did exactly that. And well, not only did I pass, but also it was one of the comments that the assessors made that was positive. So, and I've used it since then, and it's amazing how beautifully fluid that becomes, and how I'd never realized before that people's awareness could be channeled in that way.
This is great. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that is great. Linda, do you have any comments, questions?
No, I don't think I have any. I'm absorbing all this, because I think what I'm doing is I'm listening. I'm writing a lot of notes too, and then I'm listening from the place of the style of coaching that I've been doing and I've learned. And I'm listening for some shifts I can make. So I liked it in particular and what you both were describing as from that aha place, because I have, you know, you're working with a client and they get that aha and they practically jump up and down. And you're like so excited with them. I like your process of moving right into that designing action, and I right now I have to think about it, but I don't know that I do that. So this is really a nice awareness for me. That right there.
Did you just have an aha?
I did. I did. I had an aha.
Is there anything you want to do with that?
I want to practice it.
Great. There you go.
Great.
There's an action.
There's an action. Yeah, so this is right now I'm so excited because it's the way you're framing everything for me is so much different than sitting and reading just the list of core competencies, which I've worked with in the teaching that we did at Chapman. I worked with them. This is just a whole different way of looking at them for me that make a whole lot more sense.
Great.
Than just looking at a list.
Yeah. I think if you get this sort of framework and it makes it fluid and easy, then all those other distinctions that happen in the competencies, I'm always looking at those lists, but I look at it secondary to this framework.
Okay.
Because they're supporting things. Because, I mean, I pick up on, say, coaching presence. I got my papers in front of me, the competencies, and flexible, intuition, not knowing, take risks. I mean, they're all great words that are there that, you know, it's like that's what coaching presence is about. It's like doing all those things, being present, taking risks, saying something that may be provoke the client, for want of a better way of putting it, into mm-hmm. thinking differently about what they just said. So, yeah, it's a compliment. I think it's like the bigger picture of
mm-hmm.
the written competencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
And you can, as you say, playing with it is great because you may spend quite a bit of time in awareness before you actually go to. You may, if you're being present with the client, get, oh, they want to explore this further. It's not time for me to ask about actions. It's about exploring this and then asking them what they want to do with this. And so you don't need to move very quickly. And sometimes it's very obvious that they're ready to move. They go, oh, got that. Got to do that. You know. Other times, so you've got to go with the unpacking of the Then once that's unpacked further and they get more clarity, sometimes they may go, oh, I need to think about this more. I need to reflect on that. Bang, there's an action. So that's one of the things you're going to take away, reflection time on this. So
okay.
It just makes it very practical and easy, and actions can be very, you know, they can be very grounded or they can still be very exploratory.
Mm-hmm. So, and you really have this output as a process, almost like step one, step two, step three, step four, with the trust and intimacy. You need that before you can get to creating awareness, which you need that aha or that some shift in the client before you get to designing actions. And then when you get to the designing actions part, you're looking at managing the progress and looking how they want to hold themselves accountable.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I had probably not put trust and intimacy. I love the way you put it. Yes, I had sort of creating awareness, designing actions, and progress and accountability as the three together. And
okay.
Trust and intimacy, I think you're right, though. The deeper the trust and intimacy, if you're constantly taking over the client's thinking space, if you're not allowing them to explore, if you're not helping them to understand their way of thinking and how they have approached a situation or how they could or they want to, if you
mm-hmm.
jump into that space, then you actually notice trust and intimacy, the energy of the client goes down.
Okay.
Therefore, you're right, Linda, if the energy, trust and intimacy isn't there and you hear the energy is down, it's less likely the client is going to have an awareness because they don't trust you.
Yes. That totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks. I just got a new distinction. I appreciate that. I hadn't put those together exactly in that way before. So, yes,
great.
I like it.